record. For the record, it's 10:40 on February 23rd, 2011. We're running a little bit late because of the weather, but we're in the Williams County Courthouse in Williston, North Dakota for the administrative hearing in the matter of the Granora Station Upgrade Project for Enbridge Pipelines, North Dakota, LLC. In November of last year, the Office of Administrative Hearings received a request to provide an administrative law judge. For the record, my name is Alan Holberg. I'm the designated administrative law judge slash hearing officer. We'll take appearances at this time from counsel. Mr. Biella, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Brian Biella with the law firm of Crowley Fleck, representing Enbridge Pipelines, North Dakota, LLC.
Thank you. And who is with you at table?
Mr. Jim Watson, in-house attorney with Enbridge.
Thank you. Mr. Armstrong, please.
Mitch Armstrong, Special Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the Public Service Commission. With me is Chris Morrell, Public Utility Analyst for the Commission. I move Mr. Morrell be allowed to ask questions today.
Granted. And, of course, you're not presenting any case today, correct?
Correct.
And I don't see any interveners of record, correct?
Correct.
All right. And also, I don't see anyone else present who may wish to present testimony, information to the Commission in regard to this matter. But just for the record, I'll ask, is there anyone present who may wish to present information or testimony to the Commission in regard to this application? No one present in that regard. All right, of course, the members of the Public Service Commission are not present today. I'm the substantive hearing officer, so I'll be issuing a recommended decision to the Public Service Commission in regard to this matter, and they'll consider that recommended decision and issue a final decision. Just some background. On October 21st last year, Enbridge filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and for a route permit to authorize an upgrade of its existing Granora pump station in Williams County, North Dakota. The upgrade is referred to as a Granora upgrade project. The project includes the redesign and reconfiguration of the existing Granora pump station, which will include a new shipper-owned and operated truck offloading facility to allow for increased injection capacity from its current capacity. Enbridge also plans to install a new 40,000 barrel tank for the receipt of new supply volumes. The Granora pump station is part of Enbridge's existing underground petroleum gathering and mainline pipe system that extends from Montana through North Dakota to Minnesota. Enbridge also filed a request for waivers of procedures and time schedules under North Dakota Century Code Section 49.2207.2 and North Dakota Administrative Code Chapter 690606. The Commission found the applications are complete, and this public hearing was scheduled for today. The issues to be considered for this public hearing are as follows. First, are the proposed facilities of such length, design, location, or purpose that they will produce minimal adverse effects and that adherence to applicable procedures and time schedules may be waived? Second, is it appropriate for the Commission to waive any procedures and time schedules as requested in the application? Then the issues for the certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit are, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Secondly, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And third, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Are those the issues as you understand them, Mr. Biella?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, the hearing procedure, somewhat abbreviated since we have no public testimony today. I'll call on Mr. Biella to present how many witnesses?
Two, Your Honor.
Two witnesses, and you have two exhibits, two, correct?
We have three.
Three, okay. Yeah. And, of course, you know the procedure. Mr. Biella will ask questions on direct. Mr. Marhol and Mr. Armstrong may have some questions. I may have some questions following that. Then we'll allow such further questions as you may have, Mr. Biella, and that we may have. We won't be reaching a decision on this matter today. Are you going to make an opening and closing statement?
Or? No, Your Honor.
Okay. We won't be reaching a decision on this matter today. We'll review all of the evidence when we return to Bismarck. And then, as I said, I'll be issuing a recommended decision to the Public Service Commission, and they'll issue a final decision in this matter. If a party doesn't agree with the final decision of the commission, they may have appeal rights or other rights under the Administrative Agencies Practice Act, Chapter 2832 of the Century Code, or under the commission rules, North Dakota Administrative Code, Article 6902. The burden of proof today is on the applicant to show by the greater weight of the evidence that it's entitled to the certificate and route permit it is seeking. I guess you're not seeking a route permit, are you?
Well, technically we are, Your Honor.
That's for the next one, though? Or?
Well, actually the PFC prefers to do these, even though their pump stations, is they issue both.
Right, okay. All right. Any questions about the procedures, Mr. Biella?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong?
No.
If you're not making an open statement, call your first witness, please.
Yes, thank you. We'll call Nicole McKittrick.
Right up there, please. Would you state your name again, please?
Nicole McKittrick.
Would you spell that, please, for me?
N-I-C-O-L-E. McKittrick, spelled M-C-K-I-T-R-I-C-K.
M-C what?
M-C-K-I-T-R-I-C-K.
Thank you.
Yep.
Ms. McKittrick, I need to swear you in. Actually, this is for the benefit of all the witnesses testifying today. That is, I'm required by law to tell all witnesses at administrative hearings that the maximum penalty for perjury in this state is a Class C felony, punishable by maximum 5 years imprisonment, $5,000 fine, or both. And, of course, perjury is essentially not telling the truth in a hearing such as this. Ms. McKittrick, being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Biella, please.
Thank you. Nicole, please state your name and business address.
My name is Nicole McKittrick. My business address is 2505 16th Street Southwest, Minot, North Dakota, 58701.
And Nicole, what is your position with Enbridge?
I'm the special project supervisor.
And would you just briefly describe Enbridge's North Dakota system?
What is now the Enbridge North Dakota system, which originally known as Portal Pipelines and constructed in 1960s. The original pipeline ran from oil fields north of Minot to Grand Forks and then into Clearbrook, Minnesota. Substantial pipeline additions and upgrades were made both by Portal Pipeline and by Enbridge after it acquired Portal in 1996.
And could you briefly describe the capacity expansions on Enbridge's North Dakota system?
Enbridge has been responding to increased transportation requirements from crude oil production in North Dakota since 2005. In January 2010, Enbridge completed a 51,600 barrel per day expansion, increasing capacity of the North Dakota system to 161,600 barrels per day, effectively doubling its pipeline capacity into Clearbrook Terminal in less than a 24-month period. Since then, we have made system enhancements to increase capacity up to 210,000 barrels per day into Clearbrook, with the completion of the Bakken expansion program in the fourth quarter of 2013. Enbridge will increase its pipeline takeaway capacity up to 330,000 barrels per day.
And what is driving the need for these system expansions in North Dakota?
Many new wells in the Bakken have greatly increased North Dakota's oil production. Now, North Dakota is the fourth highest oil producing state in the U.S. with the possibility of surpassing both California and Alaska in the next year. Bakken production has risen from 26 million barrels in 2007 to 215 million barrels in 2009. The demand for crude oil transportation on Enbridge's system has increased as North Dakota's daily production has grown from 86,000 barrels per day in 2006 to approximately 500,000 barrels per day in late 2011. To handle these greatly increased volumes, our shippers have requested additional pipeline capacity. In addition, all indications are that the Bakken Formation will continue to see extensive development for years to come. There are currently approximately 190 rigs operating in the state of North Dakota, and indications are that the rig count will only increase for the foreseeable future. For these reasons, Enbridge seeks to meet its shippers' demand and assist the state of North Dakota in getting oil to markets and is proceeding with expansion plans to the North Dakota system.
Showing you what has been marked as Enbridge Exhibit 1, would you please identify it?
This is the application of Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC to the North Dakota Public Service Commission for a corridor certificate and route permit for its Gonora Station Upgrade Project located in Williams County, North Dakota.
Your Honor, we would offer Exhibit 1.
Any objection?
No objection.
Exhibit 1 is admitted.
And Nicole, what area will be served by the Gonora Station Upgrade Project?
The primary producing areas that will support this project are Burke and Divide counties. Using Enbridge's conservative base case for the forecast horizon of 2012 through 2025, the average production from this area is estimated to be approximately 85,000 barrels per day with a significant upside potential. The Gonora Station Upgrade Project will be more than sufficient to supply approximately 59,000 barrels per day of design capacity.
So what is the purpose of the Gonora Station Upgrade Project?
The purpose is to accommodate the receipt of new crude oil volumes from a new shipper-owned and operated truck unloading facility, which will be located adjacent to the existing Gonora Station. The project will enable Enbridge to increase the injection capacity from 16,800 barrels per day to an annual rate of 59,650 barrels per day. This results in Enbridge transporting an incremental 42,870 barrels per day from the Gonora Station to its Beaver Lodge Station and Terminal Facility. From Beaver Lodge, the crude volumes will have access to Enbridge's mainline system for further transportation to refinery and marketing centers throughout the upper Midwest and the Mid-Continent, including those connected to Cushing, Oklahoma hub. Third-party shippers will construct, own, and operate truck unloading facilities adjacent to the station under individual leases on land owned by Enbridge and Fee.
And would you please describe in more detail the facilities to be installed and upgraded for the Gonora Station Upgrade Project?
All construction and work activities will take place within the existing property boundaries of Enbridge's Gonora Station, which Enbridge owns in fee. The station upgrades include two receivers, a new electrical shelter building, two new 200 horsepower booster pumps, two 2,000 horsepower mainline pumps, a drag reducing agent skid, a pig launcher, a new sump tank, and one 40,000 barrel tank, among other miscellaneous equipment and pipe upgrades.
And what is the estimated cost of the Gonora Station Upgrade Project?
The estimated cost of the project is $49.5 million.
And will the Gonora Station Upgrade Project be constructed in compliance with the standards established by the National Electric Safety Code?
Yes.
And will the facilities for this project be constructed in accordance with applicable safety laws and standards?
Yes. The facility will be constructed pursuant to the U.S. Department of Transportation's pipeline standards as published in Parts 194 and 195 of Title 49 of the Code of Federal Regulations and the national technical standards that have been incorporated by reference in these regulations. These regulations are intended to ensure adequate protection of the public and prevent accidents and failures. Part 195 specifically addresses matters of safety by prescribing petroleum pipeline design, construction and operation standards. They specify material selection and qualification, minimal design requirements, and protection from internal, external, and atmospheric corrosion. Part 194 prescribes emergency planning to prepare for prompt shutdown, containment, and cleanup to minimize the effects of a pipeline release should one occur.
And please describe Enbridge's operational safety standards.
Enbridge's Pipeline Control Center is located in Estevan, Saskatchewan. The control center is manned by qualified pipeline operators 24 hours a day. A computerized pipeline control system allows these operators to remotely monitor and control the pipeline and related facilities. The control center also serves as an emergency center to receive calls from employees, the public, or public officials reporting unusual conditions or pipeline failures. The computer system allows for emergency shutdown and isolation of the pipeline and notification procedures in the event of a suspected emergency. With respect to the pipeline itself, Enbridge has an aggressive program in educating excavators and the public about the presence of the pipeline and preventing damage to the pipeline from excavating equipment. Enbridge has joined in and supports the North Dakota One Call system. Enbridge conducts routine inspection of the pipeline and its facilities to ensure that the system is operating properly in compliance with 49 CFR Part 195. Each calendar year, not to exceed a 15-month interval, the cathodic protection system is monitored for effectiveness. The pipeline route, including pump stations and related facilities, are patrolled by air at least 26 times per year to inspect the surface conditions of the land adjacent to the pipeline right-of-ways. In addition, Enbridge has established a comprehensive orientation, technical safety, emergency, and on-the-job training program for its employees. Enbridge conducts a comprehensive public education project to ensure that the affected public and other interested parties are aware of how to recognize and avoid and or respond to a pipeline emergency. The pipeline route is marked at all public roads and railroad crossings at a minimum to increase the public's awareness of the pipeline. Enbridge has also prepared an emergency response program in compliance with the federal U.S. Department of Transportation rules under 49 CFR Part 194. Enbridge's emergency response plan has been submitted to and approved by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
And Nicole, does Enbridge have an emergency response plan for its North Dakota operations?
Yes, Enbridge annually reviews and updates its Book 6, which outlines its emergency response and is on file with the public and, with the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration in accordance with CFR 49. Book 7 outlines the worst-case scenario of each pipe segment, as well as tankage. For instance, Enbridge's Little Muddy Pipeline to Enbridge's East Fork Station will have a worst-case scenario added to Book 7. In 2011, Enbridge's updates included updating control point maps to include additional areas, updating the list of emergency response equipment, and making the appropriate adjustments to accommodate increased throughput based on recent system upgrades. Throughout the year, Enbridge contacts emergency responders in Williams County to discuss pipelines within the county. These contacts include, but are not limited to, presentations, North Dakota Pipeline Association meetings, mailings, and emergency response drills. Enbridge takes these opportunities to reinforce key messages, including emergency response plans, emergency contact information, project information, potential hazards, agency response capabilities, and leak recognition and response. Enbridge is in contact with first responders along the North Dakota pipeline system that may need to respond in the event of an emergency. First responders located outside the North Dakota pipeline system are welcome to attend emergency response drills, North Dakota Pipeline Association meetings, and contact Enbridge for further discussion of our operations. Enbridge seeks local input from first responders for information on levels of training, available equipment, and their familiarity with the pipeline system and the products it contains. Enbridge engages first responders with respect to their capabilities to assist with public evacuation, medical assistance, and traffic control. Enbridge also inquires of the first responders access to appropriate firefighting and earth-moving equipment. Enbridge also inquires of first responders to determine if their capabilities include hazmat training, H2S or crude petroleum emergency response qualifications, hazard material spill contingency planning, familiarity with crude oil, natural gas, and natural gas liquids characteristics, and familiarity with North Dakota One Call requirements. Specific to the Williston area, and in addition to support from local first responders, Enbridge's emergency response team maintains an emergency response trailer that contains emergency response equipment. In addition to Enbridge personnel and first responders, Enbridge has contracted the services of Gardner Environmental Services and Bay West to supplement these resources in the event of a worst-case discharge scenario. Most likely, local first responders would need to have personnel available to ensure the public safety by directing traffic and coordinating orderly public evacuations.
And Nicole, showing you what has been marked as Enbridge Exhibit Number 2, would you please identify it?
This is a list of all the emergency response equipment contained in Enbridge's Williston Area Emergency Response Trailer.
Your Honor, we'd offer Exhibit 2.
Any objection?
No objection.
Exhibit 2 is admitted.
And Nicole, now what is the economic impact of this to the state of North Dakota may anticipate as a result of the Genora Station upgrade project?
The primary economic impact will be to provide oil producers in the Williston Basin with substantially increased capacity to transport Bakken crude to Enbridge's Beaver Lodge Station, where producers will have access to its North Dakota mainline system for further transportation to refinery and marketing centers in the Midwest and beyond. This capacity will benefit the producers and shippers in their ability to continue to drill wells and will result in corresponding tax revenue to the state from the various oil and gas production taxes. This project will also generate approximately $437,800 in increased property taxes to the state of North Dakota.
And when the facilities are constructed, will hydrostatic testing be performed prior to placing the facilities into service?
Yes. The new facilities will be factory and field pressure tested as requested or as required by federal pipeline safety regulations and industry codes. Station piping will be tested as appropriate under these regulations and codes. The testing process will be implemented in accordance with Enbridge's environmental mitigation plan and permits issued by the North Dakota State Water Commission and North Dakota Department of Health.
And please briefly describe the potential benefit to highway safety and infrastructure as a result of the project.
An average 214 trucks per day carrying 200 barrels of oil per truck would be necessary to meet the equivalent of 42,870 barrels per day of incremental pipeline capacity to Enbridge's North Dakota system. Removing this level of truck traffic from North Dakota's public roadways will result in increased public safety and will lessen the burden on the state's roadway infrastructure.
And has Enbridge contacted the Williams County and the North Dakota Department of Transportation regarding the Genora Station upgrade project impact on local highway infrastructure?
Yes. Based on discussions with Walt Peterson, North Dakota Department of Transportation District Engineer, Williston District, no road upgrades or additional road safety implements are necessary at this time. Williams County officials participated in this discussion are satisfied with Mr. Peterson's assessment. Enbridge will continue to cooperate with Williams County and the North Dakota Department of Transportation in assessing the impact Enbridge facilities may have on local highway infrastructure now and in the future.
And has Enbridge made any consideration with respect to housing for construction contractors personnel?
Yes. Enbridge will reserve rooms and campsites in the Williston area and Plentywood, Montana.
And has Enbridge made any consideration to the timing of construction with respect to agricultural activities?
Yes, agricultural activities will not be disturbed by the Genora Station upgrade project as all necessary lands are owned in fee by Enbridge.
And has Enbridge acquired the necessary zoning permits from Williams County for the Genora Station upgrade project?
Yes, on December 12, 2011, the Williams County Commission approved Enbridge's request to amend the zoning of its Genora Station project from agricultural to industrial.
And when does Enbridge anticipate starting construction on the Genora Station upgrade project?
Subject to receipt of applicable permits, Enbridge plans to commence its construction activities in April 2012 in order to meet the needs of shippers in the Williston Basin.
And what is the anticipated in-service date for the Genora Station upgrade project?
The estimated in-service date is February 2013.
And is Enbridge requesting that the North Dakota Public Service Commission approve the Genora Station upgrade project and issue a quarter certificate and route permit for the project?
Yes.
And is Enbridge requesting that the Commission issue the quarter certificate and route permit in an expedited manner so that construction may commence as soon as possible?
Yes.
Your Honor, at this time we'd also like to offer Exhibit Number 3, which is entitled Certification Relating to Order Provisions Transmission Facility Siting. This is a typical certification document which the Public Service Commission requests all applicants to execute. And this document was previously executed by an Enbridge representative and filed with the Public Service Commission last week. But we would, at this point, just like to offer Exhibit Number 3 into the record.
Do you have a copy?
I have one copy.
Have you seen it?
Yep.
Any objection?
No objection.
Exhibit 3 will be admitted.
Your Honor, this concludes our questioning of Ms. McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Biela. Mr. Armstrong?
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. McKittrick, I have some questions for you, but if you're not the appropriate person to ask them, or if you don't understand what I'm getting at, just let me know and I'll either ask another witness or try to rephrase my question, okay?
Okay.
As I understand it, are you seeking the certificate for the entire 152 acres?
Yes.
Okay, and how much of that is actually going to be part of the new pumping station, do you know?
I don't know the answer to that one exactly.
On the maps, and if you need to look at them, the one I'm talking about is B2. There's kind of a cutout in there, and the aerial view looks like it is some sort of, well, I guess I don't know what it is. My question is if you know what it is.
And where was that at?
B2.
B2.
Attachment B2, excuse me.
Oh, sorry. So this is an overview map,
yeah.
And it's basically showing we have pipelines coming into the current Granora facility, and it's showing those pipelines and where they're coming into the facility currently.
Yeah, and what I'm asking about is, I guess since it looks to be a quarter section and your request is for 152 acres, I'm asking about this 8-acre...
The cutout?
Section that's cut out, if you know what's located in that area.
It's owned by somebody else. I don't know the current owner of that.
Do you know what it's used for?
I believe it is I believe it's another oil company that owns that little parcel there. There's tanks. I believe there's a tank there.
But that's part of what you're asking us to issue the certificate for, the cutout also?
The cutout portion we don't own. Yep. So it would just be the property that we own.
Do you know how close the Granora pumping station expansion that's planned right now is to that property?
It's to the north of that property, and there's actually, call it a wetland in between us and that property. I don't know the approximate, I mean, it's maybe less than a quarter mile. It's not very far, obviously, it's within the same quarter section, so...
Do you know if there's anybody here today that would have an idea or more knowledge about that piece of property?
The only person I could think that may is Daryl from our land and right away.
Is he going to be testifying?
No.
He's available, though.
He is here.
Okay. Mr. Armstrong will consider whether he wants to call him.
You discussed some of the traffic that will be taken off the roads, 214 trucks. Is there going to be more traffic in this area with the uploading sites?
Can you repeat that?
Sure. As I understand, there's 8 truck uploading sites. Is
that
correct?
Yes, yep.
And I assume that means trucks will be coming there to distribute oil into the pipeline?
Yep.
Is this base, do you have any idea how many trucks on a daily basis will now be going to this pumping station versus transporting the oil?
That's what we came up with, was that 214, and that's basically stating that that's the available capacity that we're adding that would allow for that many trucks to come into that facility.
And the plan is for them to come in, I think it's on Highway 5,
mm-hmm.
And then the access road. I'm just looking at your demonstrative exhibit up there. Is that road kind of to the south, and that's how they enter?
Yep, that's how they would get into the truck unloading facility, is the south road.
Okay. And at least when you spoke with the Department of Transportation, you had all this stuff relatively finalized, so they were aware of the truck uploading sites and everything of that nature?
Yes, and that was actually the reason why the road is where it is because of the curve that comes there. So we position the road further to the south to allow for more visibility.
I take it you're not the environmental person, obviously.
Nope.
Okay, I'll skip those questions. Were you involved at all with the correspondence with other governmental agencies?
No, I was not.
Just going back a little bit, you indicated, I think, that 214 trucks will be eliminated, you know, and I, as I understand it anyway, that's the trucks that, you know, because Enbridge is able to ship all this oil through a pipeline, you don't need to transport that oil out of North Dakota on those trucks.
Yeah.
Do you have any more, I guess, information about how or if this will increase truck traffic as far as driving them to the Enbridge site, this site?
With the increased, you know, of wells being drilled, we anticipate that they'll be coming from that area. And so we don't see an increase in traffic, but more so a decrease on the roadways, maybe the main roadways that are going out of North Dakota.
The trucks to get the oil from the wells to the site are going to need to move the oil one way or the other?
Correct. And it's still have that.
The elimination of trucks from getting it out of North Dakota.
Correct.
So just to clarify, so if I understand this, further out, the truck traffic will be decreased because of this, but coming into this site is going to be increased, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Due to the 8 additional unloading facilities.
Some of the agency correspondence recommends construction avoid the breeding season for birds or other animals. I think you mentioned you were going to start construction in April 2012. Do you have an idea of why that's okay with those recommendations?
I think Sarah would probably be able to answer that better.
Okay. Did I hear you right that it's already been rezoned?
Yes, that was approved in December.
Other than what's been marked as the expansion that we're here for today, are there anticipated further expansion on the site in the future?
We don't have anything in the plans right now. Not to say that it won't happen in the future, though.
Would Enbridge agree that, you know, if the certificate is approved for this 152-acre site, that anything further built on that site would be brought before the commission for its consideration of another certificate?
Yes.
I'm going to follow up on that more, otherwise I'll forget. It sounded like not all the upgrades were known at this time. Is that what you're talking about, that there might be some more upgrades?
As I understand it, you have a pretty definite plan of what you're asking us for today, but you're asking for a larger site than what these upgrades are going to take.
Yes.
And if you were to add, let's say, another 8 truck uploading stations in the future, you would seek another certificate for those expansions?
Yes.
And if somebody needs...
I'm not sure, Your Honor, that she's capable of answering those legal type questions.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure, that's fine. It's perfectly acceptable to answer that. I'm not the person to answer that question.
I was interested in that, too, because it kind of sounded like there's a possibility of more upgrades in the future on this site, and that's what you're wondering, if there's going to be more upgrades other than the ones known, what's going to happen?
Yeah, and that's really the purpose of my question, and if you're not the appropriate person to answer it,
okay.
I'm sure we'll have a break later where it can be discussed, and maybe it can't be answered today. That's all the questions I had.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Marlowe?
I don't have any questions.
Okay, let's see. Is this project or part of it related to the Little Muddy project in any way?
No.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about what the relationship with third-party shippers is? As I understand it, you own the land in fee, but they'll be owning what, their part of the unloading facility? And
they will have 8 lots there, and we'll have 8 individual leasees that will sign a lease with us, basically, and they'll be responsible according to our agreements of that lease.
But they'll be operating under their leases, right?
Correct, on our land.
Okay. guess that's all the questions I have. Mr. Biel, any further questions of Ms. McKittrick?
Yes, Your Honor, just a few.
All right.
Nicole, is one of the goals of expanding this station to decrease the long-haul truck traffic?
Yes.
So it results in shorter haulage?
Yes.
And just to clarify, at this time, Enbridge has no plans for any further expansions of the Glenora station, is that correct?
That is correct.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Biela. Anything further? Thank you, Ms. McKittrick.
Your Honor, we would call Sarah Pletz to the stand.
It's Sarah Pletz?
Plutz.
Plutz. P-L...
O-E-T-Z.
All right, thank you. Did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard. If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Biela, please.
Thank you. Sarah, if you'd spell your first name, just so we have that clarified.
S-A-R-A.
Thank you. And please state your name and business address.
My name is Sarah Plutz. I'm an Enbridge employee, and my business address is 1409 Hammond Avenue, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880.
And please briefly describe your position with Enbridge and your qualifications.
I am currently an environmental analyst, too, in our U.S. Projects Environmental Group, primarily supporting our major projects business unit. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in Environmental Studies from the University of Minnesota, Duluth. I have over 5 years of environmental permitting, compliance, and construction oversight experience on numerous projects across the Midwest.
And were you involved in the preparation of the environmental and cultural resource reports to the Public Service Commission as set forth in the application, Enbridge Exhibit Number 1?
Yes.
And is the purpose of your testimony today to describe the environmental and cultural resource matters pertaining to the proposed Glenora Station upgrade project?
Yes.
And has a cultural resource investigation been completed for the Glenora Station project?
Yes.
And what are the results of the investigation for this project?
A Class 3 cultural resource inventory was conducted in the fall of 2011. No cultural resources were identified during the survey. The archaeologist has recommended a finding of no historic properties affected as a result of the project. On September 14, 2011, the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office stated they concurred with the no historic properties affected and no significant sites affected determinations on the project. The Class 3 Cultural Resource Inventory and corresponding North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office response were filed in the original application to the Public Service Commission as Exhibits C1 and C2, respectively.
And has a wetlands assessment been completed for the Glenora Station upgrade project?
Yes.
And what is the result of the wetland assessment?
A wetland delineation was completed in August 2011. The delineation indicated 8 wetlands within the survey boundary. On behalf of Enbridge, in September 2011, Mergent Incorporated submitted a request for a jurisdictional determination to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Omaha District Office for the 8 wetlands. The Corps of Engineers responded to the jurisdictional determination request on October 25, 2011, concluding that the delineated wetlands in the project area are not jurisdictional waters of the United States and therefore are not subject to the Corps' regulatory authorities or permitting. The approved Corps jurisdictional determination was submitted to the Public Service Commission as a supplemental filing on February 10, 2011, as 2012, as Exhibit D2. Enbridge has designed the project to minimize impacts to wetlands and other drainage features. An access road off of County Highway 5 will cross one of the wetland features, resulting in minor temporary and permanent impacts. It is estimated that less than 0.1 acre of permanent impacts and 0.5 acre of temporary impacts to this wetland will occur. As the impacted wetland is not a water of the United States and does not fall under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers, no permit will be required from the Corps of Engineers. Enbridge will install an appropriately sized culvert consistent with North Dakota State Water Commission regulations under the new access road to maintain the original hydrology of the feature.
And are there any exclusion areas as described in North Dakota law and regulations contained within the proposed Kenora Station update project?
No.
And what studies were completed with regard to biological resources?
A habitat assessment and the raptor nest survey were completed in August 2011. At the time of the survey, the project area was planted in wheat. The assessments did not reveal threatened or endangered species or critical habitat areas of concern. A ground survey for tree and ground raptor nests was also conducted, and no raptor nests were observed. Nesting habitat for raptors is limited to a shelter belt surrounding a farmstead approximately half a mile from the site. Results of the habitat assessment and raptor nest survey were previously submitted to the Public Service Commission as Exhibit D1.
And Sarah, are there any avoidance areas as described in North Dakota law and regulations contained within the Kenora Station upgrade project?
There are no avoidance areas located within the actual project area. Within the study area, an avoidance area was identified. It is a municipal water supply associated with the city of Kenora. The North Dakota Department of Health considers this a not likely susceptible aquifer. The North Dakota Department of Health did identify a wellhead protection area associated with the city of Kenora's water supply. A wellhead protection area is a protected surface and subsurface zone surrounding a well or a well field supplying a public water system. However, the wellhead protection area is not located within the project area, thus no impacts are anticipated. The location of the wellhead protection area boundary in relation to the project and study area is displayed in previously filed Exhibit F4.
And with respect to the Public Service Commission's selection criteria, please identify any potential impacts from the Kenora Station upgrade project.
Minimal impacts are expected to agricultural production, visual effects, wetlands, and plant life. Less than 1% of the survey area is considered to be prime farmland, with just over 1% considered prime farmland if drained. It is estimated that approximately 18 acres of farmland will be permanently converted as a result of this project. Based on 2007 USDA Census of Agriculture, this amount is considered to be negligible compared to the approximately 1.14 million acres of farmland in Williams County, North Dakota. Any visual impacts are relatively short-term due to reestablishing vegetation on agricultural land following construction. The only visual impacts will be additional structures built in association with the upgrades of the Kenora Station. The project is located in a sparsely populated rural area where the additional structures would have a negligible impact on adjacent areas. With respect to human health and safety, Enbridge will design, construct, test, and operate the project in accordance with all applicable safety laws and standards. With respect to plant life, as previously mentioned, approximately 18 acres of agricultural land will be permanently converted to industrial use. The project area is currently an actively cultivated wheat field. No species of concern, rare or unique species, or critical habitat were observed during the field assessment. And as a result, long-term impacts to plant life are considered negligible.
Now, from an environmental perspective, what other permits or authorizations are necessary for the Kenora Station upgrade project, and what is the status of those permits or authorizations?
Environmental permits and authorizations needed for the project were provided as Table 1, page 21 of the Route Permit Application. As stated previously in this testimony, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers responded to Enbridge's request for jurisdictional determination and concluded that none of the field-delineated wetland features fall within their jurisdiction. As such, a permit from the Corps of Engineers for impacts to wetlands will not be required. An updated environmental permit list was provided to the Public Service Commission as a supplemental filing on February 10, 2012. In the supplemental filing, Enbridge stated that it filed its air permit to construct application to the North Dakota Department of Health on February 6, 2012. Due to some minor changes in the project scope, filing of the application has been slightly delayed until late February.
And have you engaged in consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and North Dakota Game and Fish Department?
Yes. Consultation requests were submitted to both agencies in September 2011. In these consultation requests, Enbridge outlined general mitigative measures to be taken with respect to wildlife resources. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service responded to the consultation request on November 4, 2011, and confirmed that since no permit is required from the Corps of Engineers, that there is no federal nexus for the project. The service provided additional comments and recommendations on the project with respect to the Endangered Species Act, the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act,
and the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. The response letter was filed with the Public Service Commission as a supplemental filing on February 10, 2012, as Exhibit F1. In association with this supplemental filing, Enbridge outlined measures it has taken to address specific issues raised by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The North Dakota Game and Fish Department responded to Enbridge's consultation request on October 14, 2011, which was previously filed as Exhibit F2. In its response, the Game and Fish Department indicated the project should not directly impact species of conservation priority or game and fish administered land. The department also mentioned the importance of maintaining existing drainage patterns on site should any wetlands be impacted, and recommended that if wetlands cannot be avoided, that Enbridge contact the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to discuss permitting implications. As discussed previously in this testimony, Enbridge has consulted with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, who concluded in their jurisdictional determination that none of the wetlands on site fall within their jurisdiction. Also, as previously mentioned, Enbridge will install an appropriately sized culvert under the new access road to maintain the original hydrology of the wetland feature crossed.
In addition to the mitigation measures you've already discussed, will other mitigation measures be undertaken?
Enbridge has developed an environmental mitigation plan for this project, attached as Exhibit E to the application. The environmental mitigation plan provides more detailed discussion of the guidelines and mitigation measures that Enbridge would implement during this project. The plan was developed based on Enbridge's corporate experience implementing best management practices during construction of pipelines and associated station facilities. As described in Section B9E1 of the route permit, the project will require a construction stormwater general permit from the North Dakota Department of Health. In accordance with the general permit conditions, Enbridge will develop a stormwater pollution plan for the project, detailing project activities and best management practices for erosion and sediment control. In addition, Enbridge has developed a spill prevention, containment, and control plan that describes the planning, prevention, and control measures to minimize impacts of project-related spills, attached as Exhibit G to the application. The environmental mitigation plan, spill prevention, containment, and control plan, and stormwater pollution prevention plan are comprehensive controlling documents that will be included in contract specifications.
And please describe Enbridge's environmental monitoring and use of environmental inspectors during the Granola Station upgrade project.
Environmental monitoring in the form of ongoing site inspection will be conducted during and following construction. Contract specifications will incorporate environmental protection and mitigation measures required by regulation, Enbridge specifications, or environmental permits. Enbridge's contractors will be expected to implement these measures in the field. Enbridge will also provide training and project orientation to contractors and their personnel as applicable. Enbridge assigns a designated environmental representative or environmental inspector to each project. The environmental representative will act as a resource for construction personnel and a liaison between the contractor and Enbridge's environment supervisors and agency officials. The environmental representatives will be responsible for assisting with pre-construction field tasks, such as marking wetland and water body boundaries, clarifying environmental requirements, identifying possible issues and challenges ahead of construction, conducting environmental training of construction staff, offering advice and consultation to Enbridge's contractors, and conducting inspections and monitoring in accordance with applicable laws, permits, and/or project plans. The number of environmental representatives or inspectors assigned to a project is dependent on the size and overall complexity of the project. The Granola Station Upgrade Project is a relatively small project, thus Enbridge will designate one environmental representative. The environmental representative will likely be contracted through a third party. Again, Enbridge's designated environmental representative will document environmental compliance throughout the duration of the project and be responsible for monitoring construction activities to ensure compliance with all applicable environmental laws, regulations, permits, and Enbridge's project-specific plans, such as the Environmental Mitigation Plan, Spill Prevention, Containment and Control Plan, and Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. For example, the environmental representative will conduct periodic inspections of erosion and sediment controls in accordance with the North Dakota Department of Health Construction Stormwater General Permit.
And did Enbridge take into consideration noise attributable to the construction and or operation of facilities to be installed as part of the Granola Station Upgrade Project?
Yes. The Granora Station upgrade project is located in a sparsely populated rural area. The nearest residential area is the city of Granora, approximately 1.25 miles northeast of the project. The nearest suspected residence is a rural farmstead, approximately 1/2 mile east of the Granora Station. Given the remote location of the project and the lack of noise-sensitive areas in the immediate vicinity of the station, Enbridge does not anticipate any noise-related issues with respect to the construction and operation of the Granora Station upgrade project.
And to date, have any state or federal agencies objected to this project?
No.
And in your opinion, if the Granora Station upgrade project is constructed as set forth in the application and as discussed at this hearing, will there be any significant long-term irreversible effects to the environment or cultural resources?
No.
Your Honor, this concludes our testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Viola. Mr. Armstrong, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Is it Plutz?
Plutz.
Okay. Ms. Plutz, I'm suspecting the answer is no, but do you know what that business I was asking Ms. McKintrick about is, or that property is?
I am not aware of what the business is, other than an industrial site.
Okay. You were talking about, in my application, I don't have the response from the Fish and Wildlife Service or I believe it was Army Corps of Engineers. I think you said those were filed relatively recently. Is that correct?
Correct, as a supplemental filing on February 10th.
Okay. I want to make sure they're included in the exhibit, so I'll check real quick.
I think, believe they're right in the front folder.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mine were right in the front folder.
They're right on top.
Here?
No.
Go look at them after the hearing.
Sure.
And what that was what? What?
Well, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
No, I know, but what part of the exhibit was that?
Well, they're filed, Your Honor, basically with Mr. Bielis or Enbridge's cover letter right in the beginning of the exhibit.
Okay.
In the application itself, they have it blank for future filing. I know Enbridge has been involved in a lot of these cases, and we've had a lot of correspondence from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Generally, it basically says the same thing. Was there anything that you recall in the Fish and Wildlife correspondence that was different for this project as opposed to what I call their standard letter?
There was one item. They had mentioned a candidate species program that they work with a variety of companies on. Beyond that, there was nothing out of the ordinary in their response letter.
And what is the purpose of the candidate species program, to your understanding?
My understanding is that a candidate species is potentially eligible for listing as a threatened or endangered species, but is not to that point yet. So it's a preventative program, voluntary for companies to work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to develop mitigative measures for general construction activities in the state to ensure that no further harm comes to these candidate species.
Is Enbridge involved in that process, or is it?
We are not.
Not. Why not?
For this particular project, there is no federal requirement to provide any mitigative measures to a candidate species. As well, Enbridge did indicate in our response that we would consider the program in future Enbridge expansions in North Dakota.
And I'll apologize if we've got another hearing this afternoon. I think it was this one anyway that there was talk about the Sprague's pipit or something on site. Is that?
Yes, that's correct.
Are you anticipating any impact to the Sprague's pipit by this project?
No.
Is that the candidate species you're talking
about? It is.
About?
Yeah.
That would be one of the candidate species that the...
It is the only candidate species.
Why not? Why will there be no impact to the Sprague's pipit?
Due to the assessments, there is no suitable habitat for that species for this project in the area.
Not any of the wetlands even? Well, I don't even know what the Sprague's pipit is. Is it?
It's a bird.
I thought it was a bird. But is it a waterfowl bird, or what kind of bird is it?
Have to apologize. I don't know the answer to that right off the top of my head.
It's basically a... Well, I would call it, looks like a songbird. I don't know biology, I guess. But you heard me ask Ms. McKintrick about the construction schedule.
Yes.
I know at least I assume the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service letter also discusses the breeding season. I know the Game and Fish letter does. With the breeding schedule being beginning April, or the construction schedule beginning April 2012, and I assume it'll be continuous to completion, why is that not a concern, I guess?
At this particular project, it was planted as a wheat field prior to any construction activities. That wheat was harvested this fall. Therefore, any of the clearing activities that the Fish and Wildlife Service recommends falling outside of that time frame or that timing restriction they provide has already occurred. So we've basically met that obligation.
This is kind of, I'm not a scientist, but kind of maybe a little bit of lawyer logic, if there is such a thing. You know, if construction starts in April, is it reasonable to assume that while you're going to be getting construction, the birds aren't going to go and nest and breed in that area?
Given the suitable habitat within the area, as well as the construction activities, it's more likely that any species would find an additional nesting or roosting habitat, not being impacted by the construction activities.
So they're going to find another wetland someplace rather than the ones right there, probably.
Correct.
At least for the construction period.
Correct.
One of my questions was the Army Corps, and as I understand, they've determined everything is non-jurisdictional.
Correct.
And even so, that the plans haven't changed. I think it's 0.1 acre of wetland that's disturbed.
That's correct.
And that's the road going in.
Yes, the access road.
And there'll be a culvert under that.
There will.
There's some discussion about the Granora Municipal Water Supply in the application. Can you just explain to us what, if any, impacts there could be to the Granora Water Supply?
There are going to be no anticipated impacts, given that the wellhead protection area is located far enough away from our project area. It's within the study area, but not the survey area. Therefore, won't be impacted by any project activities.
And at least as I look at the map, none of the... Well, the pipelines are already in place.
Correct.
So I take it then the pipelines there are capable of handling this increased capacity as far as everybody knows?
I would defer to engineering to answer that question.
Nothing further.
Thank you. Mr. Morrow?
I don't have any questions. Thanks.
Okay. So you're leasing this part of this area to a farmer now for planting wheat?
Correct. You have been. There's a tenant.
But that's not going to occur for 2012 then?
I would defer to right away to answer that. I believe not.
Can you tell me, you said that the Department of Health permit, you'd applied in late February. You don't have the permit yet?
The air permit to construct application, we anticipated to submit it in February. I believe it was the 6th, and due to some minor changes, we have not submitted it yet. I anticipate it will go in towards the end of next week, so we have not obtained that permit yet.
So you don't really know when you're going to get the permit for that? Or?
Typically, they are 30 to 60 days to obtain a permit to construct for a minor source modification.
I guess that's all the questions I have. Mr. Biella, please.
We have nothing further, Your Honor. That concludes our case.
Mr. Armstrong?
I just had one follow-up. I assume that you'll have to get a stormwater permit from the Department of Health, too. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that'll be before construction, obviously.
Absolutely.
Nothing further.
Thank you, Ms. Plutz.
Thank you.
And, Your Honor, that does conclude our testimony today.
Okay.
Take a short break.
Yeah, you can. Let's take 5 minutes. 10 minutes, whatever we need.
The only